What have they seen in your house? Isaiah's question to King Hezekiah still has resonance for us today. I'm Larry Viverka, Associate Professor of Pastoral Care, your host for Probe this quarter. And I'm happy to have as fellow tour guides in helping us explore this question, Eileen Bauer, Visiting Lecturer in Biblical Studies, and Dave Thomas, the Dean of the School of Theology. Welcome to Probe.
Greetings, Larry.
Thank you.
The lesson this week begins with the Hezekiah story and his visit by the Babylonian ambassadors who were interested in his miraculous recovery from illness. What lessons do you think we might learn about those times when we open our homes to guests from the community, from Hezekiah's experience with those Babylonian folk?
Well, they'll find out what you're made of, Larry. Or what your family's made of.
When they inspect the place, huh?
Well, you know, when you ask this question, I'm reminded of a metaphor that a friend of mine used when talking about preaching. He asked a question that I regard as entirely fascinating. He asked people who preach, what is the fragrance of your message, of your preaching? And I'd never really thought about preaching in the context of fragrance, but I saw immediately what I think is an element of genius in his question, that our words from the pulpit have a certain fragrance that people who are listening to them do pick up. And I would say the same about families. I think that there is a certain ethos, you might call it a fragrance, that is found in your home. People, when they come, they will find out if you are gracious. They will find out if you actually do believe in God or if it's a pretense. They will find out if there is love between people. They will find out, when you keep company with people or let them into your sanctuary, if I may put it that way, they are going to find out about you. And I guess the question is, what will they find out?
And I think in Hezekiah's instance, it's interesting because the ambassadors came wanting something different than Hezekiah showed them, actually.
yeah,
you know, and that's sad. And I wonder, does that happen? Are there people who come into our homes, perhaps, that are hungry for something, and we perhaps offer them something else?
Well, I think there's even a prior question in our age that do we let people into our homes anymore? I know you
less
go
less and less, I think.
Yeah, you go back 100 years, and especially when people lived on farms 130 years ago, that it was an unusual thing not to have somebody living in your home other than your immediate family. There was some extended family member. There were farm laborers. There were travelers who were coming by who were put up for the night, who might stay three or four nights. We live very insulated lives now. So,
When you were talking about some of the qualities of graciousness, and particularly this sort of perfume or aroma,
fragrance. I like that.
Yeah, fragrance. I was thinking of Jesus' lesson of the flowers. As you consider the lilies, how they toil not or spin, and yet they're magnificently arrayed. That sort of quality that comes from the character, the graciousness of the person. Those are the things that you seem to be focusing on. It's very different from a cactus plant that sticks and pokes and pokes and people want to keep their distance from.
You know, I think the real power of hospitality is not so much in the food or the accommodations, but in the fact that people's lives touch when you're in a home. And if any of you, I'm sure this has happened to you, if you've ever been invited into the home of a gracious person, it is a spiritual experience, you know.
That's very
that you have the feeling that they are caring for you and that they are being very kind and hospitable. It's a wonderful thing.
Now, in Hezekiah's experience, Rather than talking about some of these moral, ethical considerations, he focused on the physical amenities and showing off his military forces and the wealth of his mm-hmm. palace mm-hmm. and so on. And that is part of what Isaiah was confronting him about. Is there anything about the physical nature of a home? I'm particularly thinking of the times you two may have done visitation in members' homes that communicate something to you about the people and that hospitality quality and the physical sort of components that you would meet in walking into a home.
Well, I don't know if I should say this on the radio, but I think the immediate assessment that I always tend to do on a home is not what's in it, but is it clean or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I, quite frankly, have, I don't like to go in and just settle into a place that is not clean. Whether it's new, whether it's nicely set up, or whether it's very simple and even possessed of old things, if it's clean, there seems to be a certain atmosphere in that home that I think does tend toward godliness. And I do remember that cleanliness is next to godliness, and maybe that's why I do that. But, I've been to homes where I had to climb over to trash and other unmentionables in order to get into a home. And you become afraid even to sit down. Not afraid, but I mean it's discomforting
mm-hmm.
to sit down.
Well, yeah, and I think you're getting at what I had in mind, which is the sort of atmosphere that is communicated by the very physical being of the home.
Is it light or is it dark in this?
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
See.
And I've been in homes where there are just, very few sparse things, and they are kept in a sort of an immaculate way, and you're afraid to even sit on the furniture for fear of doing it some harm, And so for me, that sense or that atmosphere is one of great discomfort. I don't feel at home there. And there are homes where perhaps maybe like mine, this may be the key, there's just a barrage of stuff that communicates what these folk value, whether it's books or whether it's pictures of family all over the place or whatever. And I've also noticed that I'm more at home in homes where there are pets.
Oh, okay.
And people with pets, somehow there's a hominess about them.
They don't mind a little hair on the furniture, fur on the furniture.
fur here or there as opposed to it all being picked clean somewhere.
But it has a warm, welcoming feeling, I hear you're saying.
Come
in and sit down.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the attitude of the people in the house is probably the most important thing to me. Mm-hmm. Is that whether they live in a little cottage or in a great mansion, if they are hospitable and kind, and, if you get the sense that this is their home where they live and it's not a museum piece, then it becomes very homey.
Another story in this week's lesson is the focus on Andrew as the one who is always introducing someone to Jesus. We see him introduce his brother Peter to the Lord. He's the one who finds the little lad who has the basket of loaves and fishes, and he brings him to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He's the one that brings Saul in.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything we can learn from Andrew, particularly as we think bringing our children, our family members to Jesus, introducing them to Jesus?
I'm thinking, I'm still going back to having guests in our home, and I remember with delight having a couple in for dinner one time, and it was when two of our children were still quite young. And I remember the lady, who was probably in her 60s, our guest, went after dinner and just sat down on the floor with these two children, ignored some of, not ignored, perhaps is not the best word, but diverted her attention from the adult conversation to focus in on these children. And they, to this day, think she walks on water, practically. I mean, you know, so I think one of the things we need to do is pay attention.
Yeah.
Be present for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, learn their names. Ask them questions.
I like, too, the idea that when we speak of Jesus, when we have our prayer times, our grace before meals, when we have our family worships, that they are times of incredible enjoyment, buoyancy, love, happiness, that they're entered into with the delight of sharing a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the quality with Andrew, is to be happily bringing people to Jesus. Our family members, our children, our relationship with Jesus is one in which we speak of him with enjoyment, with delight.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's communicated, there is that sort of grace, graciousness, and hospitality that we associate with him. Some of our families have challenges in that the home is divided on matters of religion, and I'm wondering what you know wisdom you folks might have for families where the husband and the wife may have different faith backgrounds or relationship.
Well, you know, that's a very difficult circumstance. I think it's most difficult when somebody changes religion while married or changes their religious convictions. If you marry somebody knowing that there's a difference of opinion right from the start, I think you have a dynamic of volition or a willing agreement that may moderate things. But I think there are several things. And the first is that both sides are going to have to be doubly gracious to each other. I think that if you start warring against your spouse's belief systems, you will cause them to become further entrenched. And because religious differences run so deep in our lives, they touch everything. It's easy to end up with a very, very contentious household. And you may have to just let your spouse follow their convictions without any comment.
Mm-hmm. I used to give an assignment to students to do a gospel presentation to one of their family members. And I remember one young lady who went to her father and presented the gospel to him. He had been, conversations had been forbidden between the two of them, but she was delighted in doing that to find that her father was a person of faith.
Wow.
And conversations that have been forbidden were actually opened up.
Mm.
Well, hopefully each of our homes will be places of comfort, of warm hospitality, where the name of Jesus is enjoyed and celebrated, where weary ones feel welcomed and at home. My appreciation for their guidance goes to Eileen Bauer and Dave Thomas, as well as to Susan Michael, our program director, engineer, producer for Probe. I'm Larry Bieberg.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.